You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald, and I am here, as always, with my true companion, the Frick to my Frack, the Yin to my Yang, the Laurel to my Hardy, the Abbott to my Costello, Kevin. Thanks for being here, Kevin. And I am also accompanied with one actor, Janet Lee Rodriguez. Thanks for being
Hello.
Here. Also a true horror fan. Another very big horror fan and professional wrestler, John Cataline. Thanks for joining, John.
Absolutely. Hey. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
John!
And to round out our horror just festival here, our horror orgy, speaking of, we have Phil Mucci from Diabolic Comics. He's creating Orgy of the Blood Freaks, the Dario Bava series that is just fantastic. So thanks for being a part of this, sir. Always a pleasure to have you on. And we're talking about recipes for horror. We're talking about things that go bump in the night and why we like that. What makes a perfect horror film? Now, I know we've kind of broached this subject before, but never with this class of people that are just so stewed and rich in the horror universe. I think this is a fantastic way to do this. So, what do we think, guys, as far as a horror film is concerned? What are some of the ingredients that need to go together to create this classic recipe? Does it change per decade? Is there something that's universal across the board? What do we got?
Well, number one, I would think, and this cuts across, you know, the last 110, 120 plus years of cinema, atmosphere. You have to establish atmosphere when you have a horror film. That's very, very, very important. If you don't have atmosphere, it's just not going to work.
That makes me think of something that Alan and I were talking about on Horror Guys, too. We were talking about there's a ton of Halloween films, not just the movie Halloween, but just per se. But there's not a lot of films that capture the Halloween essence, like October in a film. And for me, if you're doing something like that, when it looks like Satan's Little Helper, it takes October and makes it look good in that movie. Trick or Treat obviously takes that. It makes it look good in that movie. Halloween is very much represented in those movies, you know? And another one I thought about too was like music. You look at, you hear the Halloween theme, you hear the Jaws theme, you hear the Jason's little, whatever you want to call it, melody or whatever you want to call it.
Exactly. Exorcist.
You know that when you hear that, some shit is about to go down. Mm-hmm. So, and the music almost becomes a character of its own in the movie. So I think I love
Jaws.
Those two things. Yeah, exactly.
That stuff just grabs you. Like Tabernacle of the Bells.
Tubular Bells. Tubular Bells.
Yeah,
Tubular Bells yeah. is always haunting yeah. now.
Yes, very much so. And that, and it, like I said, it kind of becomes its own character.
I will agree with both of these gentlemen and say, like, beyond that, I mean, atmosphere is cinematography and direction, too. It's like lighting and like creating, like, in a horror movie, a lot of movies now, they're lit like TV shows. Everything's very flat. There's no attitude or direction to a lot of the lighting.
Too
and that makes
too
it
clean.
Yeah, it's very clean. And it's just for consumer concerns of like, I can't see. It's too dark in the shadows. Dark in the shadows is where horror lives.
Right.
Like, it should be dark in the shadows.
Does anybody
and
notice?
Here means like, you know, mystery, and that's another that would be another aspect that I would have to say is important about horror, is like the fact that you don't know what the fuck is going on and
the
everything that you're
of surprise
there
right.
is
the mystery.
The scariest scenes in a horror movie is when there's something in the shadows that comes crawling out all of a sudden that fucking
yeah.
terrifies you.
We were just
because that's like
Relic.
Your lizard brain is like, this is the scariest shit, that's a predator, you know.
Yeah. We were just talking about this with Relic and how the creepiest or the scariest parts in that film were when we didn't really see the creature. It was where
yeah.
was the creature at, you know, and down in the sewers when people would disappear, they'd get sucked down under and stuff. I mean, that's a classic trope, but it still works to this day. And it works
still effective.
Very
still
effective. Yeah, it's a very
well. I think trope. That's what is essential about horror. There are some current event existential things that can affect our perception of horror, but it's essentially a survival instinct inside of us. And one of the benefits of horror films as catharsis is like we experience that fear, but we survive, you know, and like that's like a great thrill to us. And that's why horror movies are like aphrodisiacs too, because there's kind of that like, oh my God, we're all gonna die. And like
date movie, we're gonna date movie.
Oh my God, let's get it on. You know, like yeah, there's like that tension and release kind of effect. I think good horror and good comedy are built like literally on some of the same structures
of
human emotion, you know, where you build up and you explain something and people are like, oh yeah, yeah, what does this have to do with? And then the punchline comes and you're like, oh my God, you know, like it has the same level of like base human experience. We have to deal with it. It has to be reconceptualized for the time we live in, but you know,
and also,
it's essential that it those things.
And also, much like comedy, horror and the scares, it's all about timing. If the timing's off, you're screwed. It's all about timing. Mm-hmm. It has to be. That's why I'm so upset that the Academy, for example, you know, that does the Oscars and other, you know, organizations don't give these good horror movies their credit. Because it's hard, just like a good comedy movie. It's hard. So many things have to work.
A lot of comedy is not represented in the categories either, correct?
No. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. They don't have comedy.
Sadly, it's drama.
Yep.
Pretty much.
That's why it's such a joke that it's like, oh, this is an Oscar bait movie. You know, it's
and you know what they're doing. Especially a biopic. If you do a decent biopic, you're automatically going to get a
bunch
of...
You're talking about the Weird Al Yankovic biopic, Kevin?
I heard that's pretty good. I want to see that because it's like not a biopic. It's it's a Weird Al kind of biopic.
It's Weird Al's made up biopic. Yeah, like that he made
exactly,
it, which sounds amazing. I'm all in for it. I can't wait to see it.
Same here. Same here.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be spectacular.
Going to what you said, Phil, on cinematography. When I think of like Psycho by Hitchcock, you know, Hitchcock movies, how they get so close in to Janet Leigh, and you can't see everything, but you see that, you know, shower curtain open, you see a shadow of the knife. You don't see the knife really stab her, and then blood down the drain.
Yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
You know how censored he got with that?
God.
They were very emphatic about like no,
you can't show her naked body.
Do this,
but it made
it. You
can't
show that. You can't.
What you
show
don't
this.
Show.
He had to fight the hardest for the toilet swirling flush scene.
Oh yeah, you can't show it.
No, that's the
first time he ever saw that.
Is what Hitchcock and like the greats do. That's harder than I get that people like gore and you know whatever you know like I want to see the bloody effects
right.
And that it took them so many shoots. You know, so many times to get that take that was perfect, but it also is like, I don't need, like, when I was younger, I was like more into that. As I'm older, I much more appreciate the artfully told story where my imagination is already like giving me the most horrible version of like the violence and that's happening. And that's not really about the gore. Psychologically, it's about like caring about the characters in the scene and being empathetic and the story. And that's something that as a filmmaker, I feel like I'm working towards, you know, like I don't think I've ever actually achieved that kind of level like Hitchcock did of that kind of thing. Because we are all raised with like a love of spectacle. I mean, I was like a kid who loved I saw Star Wars in theater when I was really young, when it first came out. You know, I'm that old, you guys.
Oh my God, really? Oh my God, you're like 32.
I'm 50 fucking 3, dude.
Get out of here.
Very young.
You know, wow.
Don't look
Donald looks older than you. I thought Donald was older than you.
Oh no, dude! I'm like a vampire, immortal, awesomely
man,
gorgeous.
1969? You were born in 1969?
I was.
Nice.
Wow.
Dude, I agree with that though, because like I think sometimes the less you see, the more it makes you think, and that's when your mind plays tricks on you like that. That's scary, man.
I agree.
Really scary.
I agree.
That's like
it takes us back to what we were. it takes us back to, we were talking about Donald too, about like how we were when we were kids and we were walking through like a like the woods or something, and you hear that noise, your mind starts playing tricks on you.
Yep.
And it makes you wonder what the hell is gonna happen, you know?
I think that's the greatest thing about horror, guys, is the fact that it doesn't matter where you're at. You could be in a basement, an attic, somebody's garage. You can be in the woods. Mm-hmm. You could be in the city. You could be at a swimming pool. You could be in the ocean. It doesn't matter. Something could be there to get you. Yeah. I mean, something could always be there to get you. It's, that's the fantastical thing about it, is that it's a shared paranoia. Like it's
that dark part of your brain. There's a predator out there that's going to
collective psychosis
in the dark, you know?
Yeah. Some of the creepiest stuff in movies can make you think, like you said, no matter where you are, it puts you in that scenario. Like, oh shit, you know, that could happen to me right now. Or, hey man, I'm standing over here. You're in the shower. You think, oh shit, is Norman Bates going to open the shower curtain and try to stab you? Like, it makes you wonder, man. It's like, it's just how it is.
Yep. Or is there stuff a like spider that that's going to drop down on you?
Because I like to call that the Mission Impossible spider that just dangles down while you're taking a shower. I hate those little fuckers.
Or another Hitchcock movie, The Birds. I mean, something like that. Imagine a bunch of birds coming to attack you out of the blue. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? Exactly. That's scary.
Kind of like
the birds is like a the birds is like a 9/11 movie. Yeah, it really is. It's like an like to Americans, like holy shit, what the fuck, you know? But
or Cujo, you know, a cute little dog just getting all vicious on you.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, or even something simple, a car, Christine.
Kevin, when you said the birds, I thought you said the burbs, and I got really excited for a moment.
Well, that's true. The birds.
That's also a thing where the people next door.
Donald is my kind of dork.
Hey, man, we all have those crazy-ass neighbors at one point, right?
Yeah, well, you know what?
Yeah.
There have been plenty of horror movies about that, too. The creepy neighbor next door, you have no idea what he or she has going on. So, yes, absolutely that works. Not.
Absolutely.
That people under the stairs is kind of that. You know, it's like, oh, they look like the perfect middle-class white couple. No. They are the exact.
I mean, you could find out you have a vampire living next door to you right now. You never know.
Mind your business. You see something going down. You see a exactly. coffin. You mind your business. Like, sir, I saw absolutely nothing. You continue on about what
Exactly.
I mean, like, you could take Kevin's approach, or you could take what I always feel is just nose around too much. Mm-hmm. I've always been that person that I'm too curious for my own damn good.
And that's why you end up dead in those situations.
So I'm either going to be the hero or I'm going to be the guy that dies first. It's one or the other. And like each scenario could differ. So
you won't be the hero, Donald. I can assure you. You will not be the hero.
I mean,
you will be the victim. You will be the victim.
Corpse number one. Yeah.
Exactly. You will be the victim.
I'm very white, though. So
if it's a fright night scenario, at least Jerry would call you first and tell you, you know,
that's true. Yeah. He would call me first. Yeah.
Right. He'd let you know. He'd say, hey, you know, this is nothing compared to what I'm going to do to you tomorrow night. You know, like he'd let you know.
Exactly.
You have time to get the hell out of there before that happens, you know? So at least you have that set up, you know?
Right.
And with me, I'm like, Jerry, you know, I'm one of the smart brothers out there. You know, I'm going to keep my nose out of your business. It's like, you're a smart young man. I'm like, thank you, sir.
Kevin, you are that lady in Scream 2 yelling at the screen.
No. I'm not going out like Jenna Pickett Smith.
Oh, you are 100%.
No.
You get him into a movie theater.
I think it's in Scream 2. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
First of all, that's messed up. They didn't even make it. They didn't even make it to the credits. I believe you. Me, I'll be past the credits.
Okay. If you say so.
There's no way I'm getting killed.
You would not have been.
There's no way
I'm going to make it.
I'm not
getting he's getting out. He's getting LL Cool J and Halloween H2O.
There you go.
Man. He's going to make
there
it all the way to the end. All the way to the end, baby.
There you go. He's more like a better Anaconda.
Oh, man. Anaconda was on my list, too. But I didn't make it to the top 20. I was trying to be, like, legit about it.
I liked Anaconda.
I liked Anaconda. It was I like dumb horror movies, you know. Mm-hmm. There just wasn't enough of them. And the effects were in that middle ground. From practical and rubber shit, which I liked, to CGI, which I didn't like at first, but got way better, you know, by Lord of the Rings and shit like that.
Yeah.
And Anaconda to me was like, I was like, I watched it, and my friends were like, that was the dumbest fucking shit ever. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of awesome.
It's Yes. Snakes on a plane or for John, spiders on a plane.
Oh, there you go.
Ah, oh, well, that's dude. Later. I mean, arachnophobia. I can't get with you on that. But, you know.
What I just thought of was like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where these kids go out into the middle of nowhere. Is Children of the Corn? That's an idea where you're going on a trip or something somewhere, an area that you're not familiar with.
Yep.
And there's these weird people there,
like back hills.
That is a great part
deliverance.
Of the recipe.
Deliverance.
Yeah.
Right. Recipe for horror. Yeah.
You get so freaked out. You don't know what this.
The journey
is
into
about.
The unknown. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I was just in West Virginia in Point Pleasant, and I was visiting because the Mothman's there.
Yeah.
So I went to it, right? I went to the Mothman
That's
Museum.
Great shit. I love those stories.
Right. And I went to a liquor store. I went to a liquor store, and there was this dude there, and I was telling him I was there for that. And he was like, oh, my grandma's in the documentary. And I was like, what? And he was like, oh, yeah, she has pictures. He's like, that motherfucker's real. And I was like, no. And he's like, yeah, little shit's about 4 feet tall. And he's like, but his wingspan is what scares the shit out of you. He's like, it's like a moth's wings, but it's like huge. It's like,
whoa.
It's like two of his bodies on each side that equals his wings. He's like, it's just huge. And he said he would come out and like hang out in the trees and shit in your backyard and stuff. He said it was nuts.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? And he's just like it's normal conversation. I'm losing my goddamn mind. He's like, it's normal conversation. And so then we went down to where the Mothman was seen in like these old armory areas where they would put all the shit, like all the bullets or whatever, the fucking military stuff, because it was foggy or cloudy there a lot. So the satellites and stuff couldn't pick it up. So they went there to Point Pleasant. And so we started to go into them. Like and this is deep out in the middle of nowhere, guys. Like, and we park and we're walking and we find our first one and it's kind of cool. And there's some shit on the walls that people spray painted and stuff. And then we get to we're on our fourth one. When we hit the fourth one that has like the reverse, like pentagram or some shit. And it's got like a goat sacrifice picture up on the wall. And then the Mothman is on the floor in a circle with some symbols that we didn't step into, by the way, because we've seen all these goddamn horror films. Like, that's when we stopped and we were like, okay, it's like about 20 minutes before it gets dark. We got to hike back. This is where in horror films, most people would keep going. We need to leave.
Right.
So we left. But yeah, that shit is legit scary as fuck. You get yourselves into those situations. And that's the thing. You can do it so easily. It's the stumble into these types of situations that's another recipe, another part of that.
Yeah,
that it's the
accidentally
ill intentions. Yeah,
you're suddenly in way over your head, right. And you had no idea that you were going to be. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's the mystery surprise part. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, you have to make that decision to either be a smart or be a dumbass, and like you said, keep going, or like, yeah, I'm going to just turn around and go back. I'm not messing with that shit.
Right.
I agree with you, man.
Also, what about the horror movies where you're not sure if someone's losing their mind or what's happening is really happening?
Yeah.
So you think
that is Candyman.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, if she's really, is she the killer?
Is she delusional?
Yeah. Which Shining? I think it should have made her the crazy white bitch who lost her fucking mind and was killing people. I didn't like that the movie left it. Where it did, but that's my personal taste. But I do agree. The thing that frustrates me about that trope, though, specifically, Kevin, is like, as a viewer, I don't want to get fucked with by the filmmaker. I want them to play fair, right. And they mostly don't play fair with the. Are they crazy or not?
Are they mentally ill? Are they suffering schizophrenia or something? Or are they having delusions?
Yeah. And usually the directors don't play fair with that. And they cheat all over the place.
Doesn't give you a chance to like solve the mystery.
Yeah, they're not being honest, so you can't really figure it out on your own because they're fucking with you. And that to me is annoying about that. And it's the same reason I don't like the Rashomon type things where it's like only one thing happened in this movie and you're going to see it from five different perspectives. I get like it's frustrating and it to me it's condescending. It's like be more artful. Don't fucking try to, like, I don't know. and I'm saying that about Akira Kurosawa, but it to me, it's tedious. He gets away with it. Nobody else can get away with it. You know.
Yeah.
And that's like Happy Death Day, you know, like as a modern horror movie.
Right.
And I like the first one. The second one, I could not even get halfway through the second one.
Second I turned it off. So bad. I know the problem is that they tried to explain everything too much. They got too scientific
with
it.
That's the problem. Ruined. But that's what we're talking about before. Mystery. Horror needs mystery.
Yeah.
And you don't need all the answers, you know?
Nope.
I think a good solid story makes you want to puts you you're invested into it more. Like even a good solid character makes you if you don't like an entire cast. If you don't like an entire cast of characters, you don't give a shit if they die or whatever.
Nope. Right. I felt that way about that new Hellraiser movie. I was like, the script's not great, and these characters aren't that developed, and I don't really give a fuck. And then it turned into like a slasher movie at that 1 hour point where these characters I don't really care about are running around the woods, and these Cenobites are just chasing them slowly. And it was a slasher movie, and I'm like, I don't know if I can watch the rest of this Hellraiser reboot. And I look at the time and it's like, there's another hour, 5 minutes left. And I'm like, I'm out. I mean, I just can't do it.
I think the only person I really felt bad for in that one was the brother. That was it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he gets killed off like right away. Yeah, you're like, she's so unlikable. And you're like, the script is so kind of bad that you're bored. I was bored, you know. By an hour into the movie, and then I have more than an hour left. I was like, okay, I'm checking out. But my buddy in my business loved the movie. He's like, I think it's really good.
Oh god.
Compared to the other sequels, and I'm like, yeah, but compared to the other sequels, you know, that's a really low bar.
What about, to you guys, the idea of, like, somebody, like, in Halloween, where maybe he has a reason that he's killing, and also, you know, he's unstoppable. Or a supernatural force that you don't know why. It just keeps killing and killing and killing.
I think the supernatural force is the unstoppable force.
Right.
I think those really go hand in hand.
It's like
Michael Myers now, to me, has ascended to a supernatural status.
Yeah.
Because he no longer is somebody that can be killed. Jason
was elevated to, like, zombie killer guy.
Or just, I can't think of an example, but versus the idea... versus the idea, if you guys can think of an example of someone, maybe a serial killer, where you know why they're doing it, like for revenge, versus a supernatural killer where you're afraid because you don't know why they're killing.
The only example I can give from that would be, depends on who's telling the storyline. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know that Halloween is a very pick your choose your own adventure type horror film, because you find out, okay, in Halloween 78, Michael's just a normal guy. But then, like, as they progress, as she says, basically, in Halloween Kills.
The Thorn.
Yeah, exactly. The more he kills, the more he transcends. But then you see Halloween Ends, and it's like, what the fuck happened then? Like, how do you explain that?
Right,
so I guess, really, it just depends on who's telling the story. I think he's more... Yeah, it's more scary to me to think that, okay, this dude can take bullets, and he can be caught on fire. He can be shot. He can be stabbed. He can be anything under the sun. But he gets right back up and kills like 20 more people in the entire town right there. That's creepy as shit, because how do you stop him?
And we don't know what was the reason for killing those specific people.
The only thing you can go by from what they told you in the storyline was he was after his family, basically. Now that stopped, and then it went a whole different route. After
that. It was scary to me.
That's ultimately Halloween's biggest flaw, is the fact that they've stopped and gone a different direction too many times. It's created this issue that, unless you're a true Halloween fan that can break it down and understand every aspect of it, as a casual viewer, it gets extremely confusing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's me. I will literally break it down for people. Like, if they don't know, I'm like, here's exactly what happened.
Me too.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't hate the new one. I can't say that I hate it, but I have problems with it.
Right.
But I've also taken time to explain to people, like, here, if this is what you didn't like about it, I'm not trying to change your opinion. I'm just trying to give you a different outlook on it and say, well, look at it like this.
Yeah.
And then they either look at you and say, it still fucking sucked, or, okay, I get what you're saying.
Are you talking about the newest one, John?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I haven't seen that one yet.
I need to see it too.
John, honestly, I haven't heard anything good. I've only heard bad things about it. Like,
it's, me too. It's slightly better than Halloween Kills. Slightly better than the last.
I couldn't even finish the last one.
All I'll say to you guys that haven't seen it yet, there were some very bold decisions made. I'll give it that.
Yeah, very that's true. They did try something different. I'll give them credit for that.
Yeah. And the only other thing I can tell you is the whole, what they had tried to say beforehand, before we even saw it, was we were all going to be pissed. Think Halloween 3, and that's all I'm going to say. And then you'll kind of understand a little bit why people are feeling the way they do. And that maybe given time, if you watch it a couple more times, maybe it will kind of catch on, you know?
Okay. Did you like it better than Halloween Kills?
I actually liked Kills a little bit. For the only reason why I think I really enjoyed both of those was this. Like, okay, obviously Halloween 2018, Halloween Kills took place the same night, storyline wise. Right. So, and basically, which is the same formula of Halloween 78 and Halloween 2. So he basically just made these same movies over again. Halloween Ends is Halloween 3. That's basically what it is.
Yeah, 4 years but later.
To an extent, yes. But what I liked about 2018 was, you got Laurie's story and you got Michael's story, but then you jump the same night and you're seeing now the other survivors of Haddonfield and that had those same issues with Michael 40 years later too. And here they are on another side of town at a bar celebrating themselves and Laurie. And then they find out what just happened. And it's like, you're getting all of that in one night. And it's one big jumbled story, but it kind of made sense though. So I like Kills.
So you're saying it's like watching, what is it, Kevin? The James Bond ones. It's like watching Quantum of Solace and
Casino Royale.
Casino Royale.
Yeah, they kind of blend together.
It's like watching those two back to back. You have to do it because we watched them separate years later. Kevin and I and Janet watched them back to back. Janet loved it. She thought that they were actually Quantum of Solace was really good comparatively because it kind of wrapped up what Casino was building.
Right. Yeah.
So she preferred that one. But Kevin and I had seen the space in between, and we were like, wow. Quantum is a far inferior film to Casino. So we enjoyed Casino more and hated Quantum. But when we went back and watched it with her, enjoyed it more. Together, we enjoyed it more. So I think that makes sense to me.
Because Quantum of Solace is better squished closer to Casino Royale. Yeah, Casino Royale is bloated, though. It is not.
Thank you.
There's just a lot of drawn out in that. Like,
now, Phil, I hope you don't think it's better than Die Another Day, because Donald thinks Die Another Day was great, and I hope you don't think that's a great one.
Masterpiece.
We had fun with that one, Die Another
Day. I love Die Another Day.
Yeah.
What?
I do.
You're the same.
I hate the CGI in it.
Yes,
me Donald too. And I are also on the same page about Deep Rising and a bunch of other terrible shit. This should not be surprising. Die Another Day.
Hey, you're a New Yorker too, sir. How can this be?
Over the top, Roger Moore style James Bond movie to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is utterly amazing trash. And I love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're two chicks fighting with swords in a B-52 bomber as a laser is blowing up. I mean, Jesus Christ. Fucking genius. Ice cars, invisible spy cars fighting on a glacier.
So funny, yeah.
Yes. Ice palace. I mean, what? Yep. What's not to love?
Yeah, The World's Not Enough is actually better. The one before that one.
No. I kind of liked all the Pierce Brosnan ones because I was like, these are the Roger Moore ones. These are dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
And there's
except for Goldeneye.
GoldenEye is genuinely a really good one. Yeah. I think.
Even though it was originally written for Timothy Dalton, but yeah.
No, I like the Dalton ones too, but it was a little bit too serious. Like really? Dalton. I don't know. I have to watch them again because I'm cheesy. I love cringy shit. You know, I love it. You know, if it entertains
me. So Moonraker, I bet you like Moonraker, because this guy, he loved Moonraker.
We thought it was hilarious.
I fucking love Moonraker, too.
Yeah.
Do you hate Moonraker?
No, we...
It's okay. Moonraker's okay, although I did kind of find it silly with Jaws.
My favorite Roger Moore ones are The Spy Who Loved Me, Moonraker, And that's basically, those are my favorite.
See, Roger for Moore. Me, it's The Spy Who Loves Me, Live and Let Die, and for Your Eyes Only.
Yeah. For Your Eyes Only is good, too. That was him shifting to be more serious, you know.
Well, what was shifting back to serious? Because Live and Let Die, that was like...
Back to serious, yeah. Correct.
Was Roger Moore ever in a horror film?
Oh, actually, I think he was. I'm trying to think which one he was. He was like in a horror movie, I think, back in the day.
Dude, I think everybody's done horror. It's
like an anthology horror film, but I'm not sure. Huh.
I had a question, too, for everybody. If you were making a horror movie, you know how in some of them, I can never think of an example. Somebody is, like, playing a record in the movie, and it's some creepy song that's, like, on repeats. Would you guys do that if you made a horror movie?
Oh, I guess it...
Like a 1960s song that you think is really innocent, but it's, like, the record gets...
Kill
Bill.
I did write a story about that, yeah.
The Disney ride.
Disney ride?
It's a small world.
Small world. Thank you, Kevin.
That is creepy. That is creepy. That is creepy.
I would do it because it's scary. Yeah.
Look what Halloween.
Sorry, John. Go ahead.
Oh, I was saying, look what Halloween 2 did for Mr. Sandman. Like that isn't a creepy song by any means, but you hear it, you obviously relate right to Halloween 2. It makes it creepy, you know.
Yeah.
Roger Moore.
I wrote a story treatment where You Belong to Me was the LP that like it was like a would bring this witch back to life. And then the movie The Nun, not The Nun, there was a sequel to The Nun. It was like in the Abbey where the nun, yes. it was retro, and it was like in the 50s and the guy. Yeah. Anyway. And they had that song in that movie, and I was like, ah, shit, they already used it. What was it called?
Oh, creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy.
In I think it was House of a Thousand Corpses when he's it slows down, and he goes to shoot the cop, and it's with Slim Whitman. I Remember You, and like, dude, just the use of that music though, right there. And then when it pauses for that second, I was in theater watching that, thinking they screwed up the movie, and I'm getting pissed, right? I'm like, I paid for this. Why is this pausing? There's like this pause, it seems forever, and then he shoots the cop. But it's just the song that goes with it. Again, a song that you wouldn't think would be creepy sounding, but they made it sound creepy because of that scene.
Right. Or it's like a ghost, it goes like, it's like messing with the electricity, and then you hear that as like the record player cranks back up or the stereo. Like,
I've seen a couple of movies like right. That. It was the movie The Nun, which was like a Conjuring spin-off movie where we learn the backstory of the nun, and it takes place like in the 40s or something. And there's this abbey where all these nuns are being possessed by this evil spirit. So it's cool. That movie is really cheesy. That's a much later movie. It's a cheesy movie that a lot of people hated, but as a older guy who loves retro Hammer and Italian stuff, I was like, it's kind of cool. It's like in an abbey where all the nuns are like fucking getting possessed by this evil spirit and fucking people up and, you know, like, and taunting people in it. And there's corpses and awesome, like, ossuary, you know, what is it? What do they call it? Where they have the bones? Ossuary? Or anyway. But, like, great scenes of all these, like, crypts and ossuary or whatever. It's a sick movie. It's also dumb.
So we have a lot of elements that we've discussed. Before we wrap this up, does anybody have one more that they want to throw in?
Yeah, I got one more. We kind of touched on it a little bit, but just the concept is very realistic and scary. And that's the 28 Days Later type concept. Where a virus just runs wild.
You're talking coronavirus, a.k.a. COVID-19, 2 years ago. That's what you're talking
about. Yeah, sadly.
Well, yes.
If it wasn't the coronavirus itself creating the zombie apocalypse, it was the vaccine
that
would create...
Well, we talked... We talked about that. You were saying, well, Kevin, I was waiting for everyone else to take it first before I took mine.
I waited a while because I was nervous.
And then I flipped it on you. I said, well, what if the later versions of the vaccines were the ones that turn you into a zombie? Then what?
I said, oh, fuck, I think, and then shit myself. I think that's what happened. Yeah. Yeah. So the whole virus type thing, Outbreak was big. Oh, yeah. It's not a horror film. It's like a drama thing.
Yeah, thriller, the monkey. Yep.
But it has a lot of horror elements to it because it's that
Cabin Fever is another one. Yeah. Like the virus that's flesh eating and it moves really fast and it spreads right away. Mm-hmm. You know.
I mean,
actually, that's the most likely horror. That's why that one's scary. Yeah,
because in real life, throughout history, you've had smallpox.
We all just went through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Millions of people just died from a fucking virus. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And so
it's much more relatable.
And it's this like invisible horror, you know?
Yep, that's why it's scary.
Again, the unknown, whether microscopic or just out there.
If it's going to kill you or not. No,
I think we mentioned It Follows.
It's kind of like the thing, too, where it's like the ice, polar ice caps are melting and what's going to be revealed from
that, you know? Yes, exactly.
Oh, it wasn't an asteroid that found the dinosaurs. It was this fucking alien virus that turns everybody into spider monsters.
What happens when we're in all survival? Our terrible side of our human nature going to take over and we're going to kill somebody for that point. Food? Oh, or yeah, are we going to be sweet to that person and protect them like you're in like
I'm killing somebody. I'm killing somebody.
Humanity, if COVID was a test of humanity by an alien race, they learned like we suck and we're going to kill each other.
Yeah.
Just fucking like, to be make selfish, the virus stronger the next time. Paper. They'll all be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. We couldn't. We were fighting over fucking toilet paper. So let alone
the selfish.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Like we're people done. Ripping the arms off the cabbage patch dolls in the 80s.
Yeah.
So that was the most depressing thing of the whole fucking thing.
People who weren't banding together.
Yeah. No, and there was a lot of that. A lot of that. But I think we're going to wrap this one up. Thank you, guys. Thanks to John. Thanks to Phil. Thanks to Janet.
Yay, Kevin. Thank you, Donald.
Thanks for being here, guys. Thanks for being a part of the podcast and what really works in a recipe for horror. And we have a live podcast that we do every Monday, usually every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. Get on YouTube, follow Rumble Spoon Productions. You can find us there. We also do our audio podcast that you're just listening to right now all over the web. You can find us on pretty much every audio podcast platform. We do have a few sponsors, Half's Hot Sauce and Splattered Frog. Go to their sites, check their stuff out. Please, highly recommend it. Diabolic Comics, check them out. Go to Phil.
ProfessorDarioBaba.com. Yes.
There we go. And John does a podcast called The Horror Guys. Check that out, please. It's on YouTube. Definitely give that a listen. Follow Janet Lee Rodriguez's work. Follow Kevin's work. Follow my work.
Kevin Green.
Thanks to everybody. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at the distressing, disturbing, and perturbing Comic Book Shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.